Baruch Hashem Adonai. Bless the name of the Lord. And welcome to the Shofar Ministry program. This is Dan with my best friend and committed Bible researcher, Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, darling, and shalom to all our listeners. We'll be looking at Revelation 12 tonight, so you can open your Bibles and get ready to take some notes. But first, honey, please open tonight's program in prayer.
Yes, I will. Abba, Father, our El Shaddai, how long, O Lord, will the wicked triumph and darkness accelerate all around us? We anxiously await your trumpet sound, which is our comfort and sustains us. We need your perfect peace now more than ever, and that is our prayer for tonight. We continue to trust you to provide all our needs, and that your grace is sufficiently supplied in times of affliction. We lift up our president to you for wisdom and divine protection, and for the specific prayer requests of those listening tonight, in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. That was a very meaningful prayer. For whatever your trial is right now, he will give you the grace to forge through it. If you abide in his word, he is always faithful.
Amen.
And with that said, things are getting pretty rough out there. I know when Obama was president, we could talk about how horrible he was, but we never thought about killing him.
You know, we're getting, it's almost like we're entering another civil war.
It feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the North and the South, it's the Dems, also called the Deep State, against the true conservative Republicans. Although, at least in that past civil war, there were many revivals, I'm told, and thousands of conversions to Christ.
And 4 million slaves were freed.
But many deaths, I think it was over 600,000.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one thing is becoming very clear. The deep state is hell-bent on overthrowing President Trump. You know, I saw those clips from the Shakespeare play killing President Trump instead of Caesar. And just think of the incredible amount of taxpayer money that is being wasted with all these investigations. You know, it just seems like if it walks and talks, it's being investigated. And everybody is getting lawyered up,
mm-hmm.
including Vice President Pence, who actually had a fundraising event for his political action committee. And many believe it's to pay his attorney's fees.
Yep. And, well, you know, he's not wealthy like Trump is.
No, he's not.
Maybe Donald will give him a loan.
He might. But here's the thing. If the shadow government keeps this up, many of the American people who voted for Trump, they're going to revolt like never before. They're already preparing, and of course that falls right into the hands of the very demonic global elite who require another war, any kind of war.
Yeah, this is not good.
No, it isn't. But, you know, we have been warned, as in Matthew 24. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Right. In verse 7, it says, people will rise against people.
And, you know, we don't immediately see that if you casually read it, because in the English uses the word nations. And we assume that means countries. At least I did until I looked it up. The Greek word is number 1484, ethnos, which literally means people or ethnics, races, blacks against whites, which we had another taste of last year.
But winter came.
Right. But it's not winter now. And many suspect we'll see some serious protesting on both sides. Worse than we've seen recently over even the last 2 years. And, you know, just weeks ago, there were some Trump supporters that tried to hold a peaceful rally. And guess who showed up?
The anti-Trumpers who started fights.
Mm-hmm. And most believe they were paid to do so, as they have been before, funded most likely by the leader of the shadow government.
Yeah, it's probably old George Soros.
It's not probably, it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of chaos and confusion.
Yeah, you know, and we all know where that comes from.
Yeah, we sure do. And now we see increased problems in Syria over who will control it when ISIS is finally removed. We want to put it in a new regime, and Iran wants to control, of course, using Assad. But we want to get in the word, since we have had a few requests to address the current internet YouTube craze surrounding the date of this September 23rd phenomena. But before we do that, honey, can you tell our listeners how they can connect with us? Because we really do want to hear from you.
Yes, I'll do that a couple of ways. Either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or you can leave a detailed message by calling 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are very much appreciated and needed. And you can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching letters are archived for your learning pleasure, which automatically adds you to our mailing list for future correspondence.
And remember to mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month at 7 p.m., where I am teaching at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio.
And we would love to see you there.
Okay. We have an unusual event that began late last year in our solar system where the king planet named Jupiter was seen entering the woman of the Maseroth, or what we call the zodiac. Now, let me make perfectly clear, this is not astrology that we're talking about, and God hates that because it's really personal fortune telling, so we don't go there.
Yeah, you know, Satan has perverted astronomy.
That's right.
Like everything else.
That's right, like everything else. Anything that's good, he perverts it.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that God has often talked about his stars and planets in Scripture, as well as telling us in Genesis 1:14. Can you read that?
Yes. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years."
So anyhow, those that watch what's happening in the heavens say that Jupiter will be exiting the woman that holds the branch, which, by the way, represents Jesus, according to Jeremiah 33. And it'll be doing that on September 23rd of this year. And many are saying could be the rapture of the church. And let me just say that Scripture does reveal that the catching away of the saints will be in the fall harvest. Honey, could you please read James 5, verse 7? But first let me set the stage. James begins in chapter 5 by describing the hearts of his people, especially in the last days. But then in verse 7, he uplifts his close brethren with these informative words.
"Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain."
So, what's the key word here?
Fruit.
Yes. So, we know it's the fall season.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that said, and I'm not an astronomer by any means, but this event could be very significant, but not necessarily the rapture. And in fact, probably not, due to the scriptural fact in Daniel 9 that the tribulation will not begin until a major peace agreement with Israel and the prince of the world, known to most as the Antichrist, is confirmed, along with the many, or what we think is the international community, approving it as well.
And that's not looking like a possibility this year.
We can always hope.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
And there's, Dan, and there's a lot of mostly behind-the-scenes meetings that are going on. But we do know the Jewish Jared Kushner will be in Israel tomorrow to discuss it. But according to what I've read recently, Jerusalem, just like in the past, especially those Oslo Accords, will not be included, they said, until later, probably next year. And Jerusalem has to be included because Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36 and other places talks of Jerusalem being divided, which brings the ultimate judgment.
Yeah, it's the final straw, so to speak.
Right. Now, Israel kindly allows Jerusalem to be sectioned off and the other religions to use it, including the Temple Mount. But Israel has the sovereignty because of the 1967 God-achieved victory over Jerusalem. I am thinking that this coming covenant will be Israel turning sovereignty over to the international community, at least the Temple Mount area, soon to be controlled by Rome, as it was when Jesus was here the first time. It's got to go back. And this time, Rome, which is called Babylon in Revelation, will be destroyed. Because this time, Jesus comes as king to rule and reign.
Hallelujah!
We know Israel, according to Revelation 11, will be allowed to build a temple. But officially, they will not own the area. That's my take, at least at this point. So we also know that 2017 could be a Jubilee year, and we've discussed this before. But Jubilees are for Israel, not for the church, except that what happens to Israel affects us as well. So something major could very well still occur this year.
Yeah, perhaps another war breaking out on 9/23. What's the chance of that?
Yes, like one benefiting Israel, as in Psalm 83. Well, time will tell, and we won't have to wait very long, especially since we see Syria flaring up even more. And Israel will not let Iran or Iran's proxies control its borders. And there are definite signals that that's Iran's goal. That's what they want to do. And by the way, we will experience a solar eclipse on August 21st. That just happens to be the day right before the start of the 40 days of Teshuvah, meaning a time for repentance and a returning to a closer walk with God. But let's look quickly at Revelation 12 now, which is being referenced a lot on YouTube. But first we see in verse 1, John is describing a vision while still on earth that he had of Jesus. Then in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus to John explains the prophetic church age. But then in Revelation 4, John is taken up in the spirit to the throne room. Now, that is the type of the rapture. And the church is no longer mentioned till we return and then are called his wife in Revelation 19:7. In Revelation 5, John sees Jesus being given the sealed scroll. You know, it's kind of like the title deed to the earth with specific descriptions on how the earth will be judged and cleansed of all evil. In Revelation 6, seals are opened by Jesus and then the tribulation begins on the earth through chapter 19 when he returns with us. But chapter 7 is a by-the-way chapter with important information, or what we call a parenthetical chapter, of which there are a few of these throughout the book. So, by the way, you need to know that the seals of chapter 6 will not be opened until 144,000 Jewish servants of God are sealed by him for their protection. They are called the first fruits of the redeemed of that day, as recorded in chapter 14. So these 144,000 will be saved immediately after the rapture, probably through dreams or visions or something. But then in chapters 8 and 9 are the seal and the trumpet judgments, and chapters 10 through 14 are more of the by the way kind of chapters. Now, we want to look at the unsequential and parenthetical chapter 12, a not too detailed overview of Israel from her beginning, when Jacob's name was changed to Israel, all the way forward to the last half of the tribulation, when God protects them in the wilderness from the beast, and who by this time they have the testimony of Jesus. It tells us that in verse 17. Now, the verses in chapter 12 are more understandable if taken in sections, realizing there are gaps of time between some of the verses. Now, John's still in the spirit in the heavens in Revelation 12:1. It says this: Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now we can verify that the woman described is Israel from Genesis 37:9 and 10 because of Joseph's dream. You know where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him? Now Joseph, who was the type of Jesus, told his father Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who then specifically defined his dream. And here's the quote. He said, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I, your brothers, indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" Now, of course, we know they did in Egypt. But all his Jewish brethren will one day bow down again to the real Jesus. So the woman is Israel. And then there is a gap of time. And it picks it up in verse 2, after this gap of time, where it says, "Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth." Now, the original says, "She has travail in the womb and cries in distress." So you see, the word child isn't in the Greek. But she is in distress, as in labor pains. So we know it's during the tribulation, because anytime you read in Scripture, labor pains, it's an idiomatic Hebraic roots expression referring to the last 7 years called Jacob's trouble. The labor pains produce a new birth of Israel's salvation, beginning with the 144,000, and then after much labor, the rest of Israel, most likely occurring as a result from the war of Ezekiel 38. Now, you must set those two verses of information aside as we look at another theater, so to speak, as John sees a different sign, or a wonder, in Revelation 2:3, he describes the dragon, who is always Satan, and here he uses the description of the beast that rises out of the sea in chapter 13. We know that's the Antichrist. Is it interesting to you that the Vatican's crest has a dragon right in the middle of it? But we must go on. So verse 4 of Revelation 12 then gives his origin, and that he took a third of the other angels with him. And his intention was to kill Jesus, or the child, with a capital C, as soon as it was born. And we know he tried through Herod. Now, verse 5 describes her male child as who will one day rule with the rod of iron. This rod of iron is another idiomatic expression meaning scepter. And the male child was caught up. And we know it's quickly because of the word harpazo. And he went to God and his throne. Now, pay attention here, because there's two important facts in this verse. Yes, as his queen, we will have power to rule over the nations. But it is he, Jesus Christ himself, not us, as some claim, who has the rod of iron. That is the scepter, which means the ruling one, and is king. We are not the king, and only one has that rod. Now, you can read about this in Psalm 2, 7 through 9, Revelation 2, 27, and Revelation 19, 15 confirms that only the Son has the scepter or the rod of iron. Next fact. Let me ask you, was there a previous ascent to the Father before his well-known ascension that was slower and not as quick? The answer is yes. And this knowledge is obvious to those who study Hebraic roots. And actually, we talked about this when I taught on the Spring Feast. But you probably recall in John 20, verse 17, when Mary Magdalene was crying at Jesus' tomb, and then Jesus appeared to her but told her not to touch him because he hadn't ascended to the Father yet, inferring that he was about to, and to go tell his brethren that he was going to ascend to the Father. Read it yourself. You see, he had to completely fulfill all the requirements of the Feast of First Fruits, where the priest was secluded with no food for 3 days and could not be touched until he would wave the first fruits of the barley before the Lord in the temple at the morning oblation, which is about 9 o'clock. So, Jesus being the first fruits of the resurrection, in order to fulfill it, had to appear before his Father's temple in heaven to be the wave offering and completely fulfill the Feast of First Fruits. Of course, it's in Leviticus 23, verses 10 and 11. So that's why she couldn't touch him yet. He wanted to do everything the way the custom was. And that's how we can learn also so much stuff. But anyway, now we know he was caught up quickly because of the Greek word harpazo. And that means quick. And we also know that he returned shortly thereafter, for he was seen later that night by his disciples. And in verse 27 of John 20, he told Thomas he could touch him. So, Revelation 12, verse 5, is not the rapture. And we are definitely not the male child. And many are trying to rationalize that for the church. But the male child is always a term or idiom for Jesus. And there's just no change in that. Now, could it be a typology of our rapture? I'm okay with that. All right? But let's move on. And again, this is important. Another time gap. Between verses 5 and 6 is a gap of time for the church age. And you know, there's other gaps of time in other scriptures, for instance, and look these up on your own. Isaiah 9:6 has a gap of time. And Daniel 9:26 before verse 27 is a gap of time. And it's always for the church, because we were a mystery in the Old Testament. So, picking it up in verse 6 of Revelation 12, now we see the woman fleeing into the wilderness for the last half of the tribulation. And in verses 7 through 12, Satan no longer has any access to heaven as he pursues the woman, but God interrupts that chase with an earthquake as they flee into the wilderness, which confirms verse 6. Okay, now I realize that's a pretty quick summary, but I wanted to get it in. And, oh my, does time fly. But I'm sure that you have some questions on this, so send them to us, and we will address them. Okay, make sure you send them in. You've got time to do it. So, before we close, let me ask, if you're listening out there and you're not saved, do you want the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? Because it's important that you know him personally. And if you don't, invite him in right now, because Jesus is your Savior who totally paid your debt for sins. So grab it while it's still day, for the night is coming. It really is very soon. And I know you don't want to pay the debt for your sins yourself in hell. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you perfect peace, that shalom. So, till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for your president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her will surely prosper. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Have a nice couple of weeks, and we'll see you back later.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.